thank you, Prem, and thank you, Harishankar. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And welcome to this last leg of Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. And let me repeat this. Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. Why do I say this? Believe me, every day I experience something here or hear about people who have something to say about this place firsthand, it just leaves me completely amazed. Let me give you one instance. This happened just yesterday. There was a youngster from Canada by name Arun. He was coming to Prashantinilam after very long. He just completed his medicine, and before he gets on to his professional career, he wanted to come and have darshan. But you know, he always had this apprehension about coming to Prashantinilam because Bhagwan's physical frame is no longer there, and he thought, you know, what will I do there? What's the point of coming to Prashantinilam? So even though this interest had come sometime, he never really ventured to come to Prashantinilam. But now, since he had come to some other places in South India, he had come to some other meditation center in South India and spent almost 2-3 weeks doing meditation and all that. So, and there were some other friends of his who said, you know, let's go to Prashantinilam. So he said, okay, fine, you know. So he came here and he tells me, Vishu, I have to tell you this. The energy in Prashantinilam is so powerful. It's almost as if Swami has dispersed himself into this entire ambience, and he pervades it so thickly. He's there so much. I can feel it. The energy is so powerful. And he kept telling that, you know, in different words. And he said, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to Prashantinilam and I'm going to stay for a week. I have to absorb this energy. I have to absorb this peace. And there was another friend of his who had come, who too had undergone this meditation in another center. And he said, even before reaching Prashantinilam, when they were driving to Prashantinilam, in the car, he could feel the energy. He said, I could feel that there is some vibration in my body. I don't know. There is something about this place. And when he came here, he was so overawed with the ambience of Prashantinilam that he just said, I wish I could just stay here. Other day I met Professor Rajgopal, one very distinguished professor from the University of Iowa, US, and he had come to Prashantinilam for the first time. And he said, I have never ever seen any gathering which is so one-pointed. He's never into Swami or religion or anything like that. He had come for some other purpose, but he just said that, I've never seen any audience whose mind is so focused on Swami, on one particular thing. Generally, audiences are so distracted. There is something about this place. And this morning, I met a couple from Dubai, from Middle East. Incidentally, there is a big group from Middle East who are here on a Parthi pilgrimage. They're going to stay here for 4 or 5 days. And this couple, they told me that whenever they come to Prashantinilam, as soon as they enter this hamlet, they just feel that a huge burden is taken off from their shoulders. It is like they are coming home. It's like they're coming where their body and their mind and soul can rest and relax. So every day when you speak to people and just ask people, how do you feel being in Prashantinilam? And you know, everybody's experience just leaves you dumbfounded. And the Guru Purnima celebrations are still on, and you have people from so many countries who are Now here in Prashanthi Nilayam, Mother Day, you had a choir by Mexican devotees. Yesterday you had devotees from Glendale Arcadia Sai Center who offered to Bhagwan their songs. And coming up is devotees from Poland and then devotees from UK, and the celebrations go on till the 1st of August. Almost 2 weeks of Guru Purnima celebrations. But I want to take you back to that momentous day of Guru Purnima itself, the Guru Purnima day morning, July 22nd, 2013. Prashanti was overflowing with people and supercharged with their devotion. And like every year, it began with the students of Bhagwan's college rendering that morning soulful Guru Stotrams and songs.
Ananta samsara samudra tara lokayita guru bhakti apna vairagya satrajya pujana apna namo namaha shri guru paduka apna namo namaha shri guru paduka apna
I'm just playing for you some glimpses of that Guru Purnima morning. Just enjoy this 2-3 minutes clip. Sitar after this song. Listen to that. Very beautiful. So that was a glimpse of the morning music program on Guru Purnima Day. And after this soulful rendering of stotrams and songs, began very inspiring talks. The first was by Brother Satyajit Salin, who has been spearheading the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program started by Bhagwan almost 3 years ago. And he went on unraveling for the audience what the Vidya Vahini project is all about.
The Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program, which Bhagwan had blessed on the 85th birthday, is a program that inspires people with the motto of education for all, by all. The education for all, a clarion call given by the government of India, has its own challenges, and those challenges can only be met when we ensure that education becomes by all, that each one of us is responsible for the education of the future generation of our nation. Swami's guidance has been continual. It is His guidance that has formulated the four pillars of Vidya Vahini, the four pillars that we call IIEP, insightful, inspiring, enjoyable and participative.
So he went on to explain with beautiful illustrations how Swami has given him very clear directions about how the Vidya Vahini should stand on all these four pillars. And that talk went on for about 15 minutes where he updated the audience about the strides that have been made in the last 3-4 years, and also shared how in Prashant Nilayam a arts and craft center is being ready. It is going to be inaugurated in a few days, and that is going to be one of the centers of Vidya Vahini to help create material, help create aids which will help make education more playful, which will help make education more interesting. As Bhagwan said, it should be something which should captivate the children. So a lot of initiatives have been made, and a lot of volunteers have joined this mammoth program. It's a wave, that is, I should say, which is sweeping across different states of India, and probably with time, one day, we are going to be amazed at the impact that this program would have had in the thought processes of the coming generation of this country. After that informative and inspiring talk by Brother Satyajit, came another beautiful presentation, and this was by Dr. Srikant Sola. Many are familiar with Dr. Sola. He is a senior consultant, a very distinguished cardiologist serving in Baba's Hospital in Bangalore, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, formerly of Cleveland Clinic. He is an exceptional physician and a cardiologist. And he started his talk by sharing how he would like to focus on the dictum given by Bhagwan, follow the master.
Swami has given us the four F's: follow the master, face the devil, fight to the end, and finish the game. These are the four F's. In my simple-minded practice, I actually only follow one of these: follow the master. I'll tell you what happened to the other three at the end of this talk. Follow the master. This lesson I learned actually by watching our students. As Bhagavan sat before us on the dais, I would observe how Swami's students would interact and relate with Swami. They were ever attentive, always alert to Swami's slightest motion, always focused with one-pointed attention on everything that Swami did. Whenever Swami gave the slightest instruction, the slightest hint that he wished something to be done, they would run off immediately performing that task, and when the task was completed, they would come back again and watch Swami with one-pointed attention. There are deep lessons in this simple practice for all of us. Just as these students, who are always observant of Swami, ever ready, always alert, and always obedient to the slightest hint from Swami's wish, His will, we can also do the same. So on this holy occasion of Guru Purnima, I wish to talk to you about following the Master. This is the only practice that I really know. Follow the Master. How do we do it? It's not enough just to talk. We can be like Swami's students, but here we have to follow the inner Master, the inner side. We have to watch Him with that same one-pointed attention, that same extreme focus, looking inside of ourselves, watching, always alert, always ready, and ever obedient to His will, His divine will in our lives.
So that's how Dr. Sola began his presentation, and then he went on to narrate amazing instances of how he has experienced in his life the dictum, follow the Master, translate into experiences which are really out of the world. Instances of how he cleared medical examinations by following this dictum, follow the Master. How the hospital got new equipments by following the Master. How he was able to overcome so many challenges in his professional and personal life by following the Master. And towards the end, he made very beautiful comments that sort of wrapped up his talk very beautifully.
Let us look at the last gift of Swami. When we follow His teaching, Swami will bless us with all wealth. We just have to follow the Master. Recently, I was part of a team which was entrusted with the responsibility of purchasing new high-end CT scanners for both of these super specialty hospitals. We had prepared a budget, which was in rupees, naturally, but the vendors which provide these CT scanners give their prices in dollars. Now, as many of you are aware, because of various external factors, the cost or the value of the rupee against the dollar has fallen by more than 20% in recent months. So whereas we had budgeted for a certain level of scanner or CT scanner initially, we found that when we were actually ready to make the purchase, our budget was only able to allow us to purchase this much. Now here I should add that the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust has been very progressive, very forward-thinking in making sure that all of Swami's hospitals are enabled and equipped with the latest technology, and that we are always functioning and exceeding the latest medical standards. But we have a sacred responsibility. Swami had told us that every paisa that we spend has to be spent in the most responsible and efficient manner. And so we take this duty very seriously. So we had this much to work with, but the difference for the very best of the best CT scanners was this much. It was actually more than 2.5 crore rupees for both scanners. Now for that much money, brothers and sisters, we can perform 500 heart operations. So that gives you the perspective of what we were thinking. Here I recall what Swami had done when the first super speciality hospitals opened more than 20 years ago. When he was asked what type of CT scanner to purchase, Bhagavan simply answered, purchase the best CT scanner on the face of the earth. And that's what was done. But now, some time ago, we found ourselves in a different situation. And so what to do? What else should we do? Follow the Master. Going inside, we follow the Master, all of us, whether it was from finance, biomedical engineering, cardiology, radiology, that's exactly what we did. And in the end, do you know what happened? The vendor, which sells the leading CT scanner, came to us and they said, look, we know that you are budgeting for this level scanner, our mid-range scanner, but we very much want everything we want to have our top-end scanners at both of your hospitals. Here's what we're going to do. We will give you both of our very best scanners at the same price as the mid-range scanners which you're planning to buy. And so Swami's hospitals, both of the super specialty hospitals, will once again have the best CT scanners on the face of the planet. This is the wealth that Swami gives us when we follow the Master. Follow the Master. You will have all success. You will have all fame and you will have all wealth. But I know that none of us are going to follow the Master for these things. This is worldly success. We follow the Master because we love the Master. We follow the Master because for us, Swami's love is our life breath. We know nothing else but to serve Swami. We want nothing else but to serve Swami. But when we follow the Master, Swami will give us all spiritual success as well. He will show you the truth. Bhagavan's will is for you to know that you are Sai, that you are God, and that everything is God. And when you follow the Master, this will become as plain as day. When you follow the Master, there is no need to face the devil, because the devil will disappear. When you follow the Master, there is no need to fight to the end, because all fighting will cease. When you follow the Master, there is no need to finish the game, because the game of duality will be finished itself. Brothers and sisters, on this holy and auspicious day of Guru Purnima, let us all dedicate ourselves to following our Divine Master. Let us all remain ever alert, ever ready, and always obedient to His will. Jai Sai Ram.
So that is how Dr. Srikant Sola concluded his talk, and after that we had a few more talks by one Mr. Dalton from South America, and then everyone heard the divine voice of Bhagwan, a beautiful discourse. You can listen to this as well as watch this discourse, dear listeners, on our website radiosai.org. Guru Purnima Discourse Special, that's how it is called. Please visit radiosai.org and you can listen and see Bhagwan delivering this discourse. So that's how the morning program on Guru Purnima in this year went on. And if you remember, the last Thursday we discussed about Bhagwan being the Sadguru. And I played for you the first part of a conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy. Mr. V.S.R. Murthy, as some of you might know, is a very eloquent speaker who has given hundreds of talks all over India. A very knowledgeable person, a very distinguished devotee of Bhagwan, long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, who came to him way back in 1962. And today, I want to take that discussion further and I want to play for you the second part of this conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy. But before we get on there, let us once again offer our most reverential salutations, most grateful pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and pray that we continue to be the channel, the instrument of His love, His presence and His grace. So with that, let's move on. And dear listeners, so in today's episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, you're going to listen to the second part of this conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy. I'm Team Dirisize Bishu. The time in the studios now is 9 o'clock. And for the next 50 minutes, you're going to listen to this conversation. Please do pay attention, because here he's talking about various aspects of the Sadguru, and then he relates that to Bhagwan's life. At this point, may I also mention that if you have missed reading an article on Sai Sadguru, the preceptor unparalleled, which is there on our website, radiosai.org, you could do so. That too is an insightful article. So for now, let me play for you the second part, as I mentioned, of this conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy. I recorded this with him about a week ago. Here it is.
And you mentioned that, you know, the journey for every person perhaps will reach one really prominent milestone when you see the Sadguru within. And I think that is what was the thing that Bhagwan was trying to instill in all of us all these years.
Agreed.
And if you can share about, you know, how you think this process...
Sadguru guided from within?
Yes.
It's a good question.
How people can, you know, reach there, you know?
Very good question.
Because that is something which a lot of people are trying to do now. In the absence of the physical form, we are constantly trying to connect with Swami within. We are trying to feel Him within. So if you can share your insights.
Yes. For, again, I can't come back to the first principle of not praying for the self. I want this, remove that word first. That sentence should never be there. Think that God is already, Swami is already instilled in our heart. He is there. He is guiding you from within. He is telling you. He is warning you. He is also provoking you to indulge in some good activities. Do them first, without questioning. Have that implicit faith that it is not you who is doing. It is not you who is talking. It is not you who is writing. It is He making you write. Like in Kenopanishad, all Indriyas, they work at the behest of Atma. That is the Kenopanishad. Indriyam on its own, it cannot function. So the vibrations come from where? From the source. Like your our arm and second arm in your watch. How does it move? Because there is a battery. If battery stops, everything stops. So you are receiving these vibrations from the Atma. For this also, I would like to just deviate for a second. Swami said, from the world and the divine, vibrations will come. From Swami, they are not vibrations, they are emanations. Mm. Vibration means it is an item. It is a physical level. It is vibration. Emanation is from the source, or the real source. Mm-hmm. So Swami is beyond the divinity. I always say, Swami is not mere God. We say Satya Sai Baba is God. It is a writing on the wall. Or a statement. But according to me, Swami is a phenomenon. It is beyond. God has limitations. Phenomenon has no, it is unlimited. So if you have that much faith in your heart, all your deeds will become pious. There is no special sadhana required. Did Swami prescribe meditation to 100 people? Why he did not make a group of meditators? Because meditation is nothing but contemplation and concentration, not on the world, but on the Paramatma. That Paramatma is within. That is how Swami is the Sadguru. Maximum, he would have made 20,000 meditators. How does it matter to the world? But each one becomes a meditator when his contemplation on Swami and his avatarhood, then we become a part of the whole situation. So, the Sadguru aspect always guides you. It teaches you, it warns you, it preaches
yes,
you.
Swami, as a Sadguru, he did not come for a few people who are
group
seriously in the spiritual path or spiritual seekers. He came for the masses. He came for everyone.
For everyone.
Everyone.
For everyone.
And that's why the things that he asked us to do also were very profound, at the same time very simple.
Very simple. And also my inference in this context is, why very great people, the so-called great people, also came to Prashanthi Lane? They are already great. World recognized them. There is nothing to gain for them. Why they came? My understanding is, they come here for fine-tuning. The ultimate tuning. The tuning is becoming a yogi in this life itself. Ihameva, now and here. That is why I always see Swami as Sadguru. And also one declaration we have to remember always. This avatar has come here to bestow the worldly comforts and also the spiritual comfort. I hold two laddus in my hand. Iham is one laddu, Param is the other laddu. For Param some people come, for Iham some people come, but be together. Don't say he has come for Iham, he is inferior. I have come for Param, I am superior. No, for me, you are all one. We are all together. That is unity, that what Swami taught. So these things, when I just memorize within myself, inadvertently too, in all the states, that is Jagrat, Nidra, Sushupti, Swami is indeed a Sadguru from within, and He guides you. He warns you, He preaches you, He imparts the required knowledge to understand your own self. It is not mere enough if we understand the whole world without understanding ourselves. We have to understand ourselves first. The understanding is we are not the body. We are not body alone. We are much beyond. Yes. If you can go to that level, perhaps things become easier.
Yes.
That is where Swami played a very, very significant and very effective role as far as I am concerned.
Yes, interesting. And that's what our discussion started also with that. You know,
the
first thing that you mentioned about the qualities of a guru.
Body consciousness. Beyond.
Beyond body consciousness.
Beyond desires.
Beyond desires. And that.
And the renunciation. Renunciation.
Exactly.
We speak here. Who spoke? The speakers on both sides is nothing but Swami. We have nothing to claim. We close this program and go away as Mr. Bishu and V.S.R. Murthy. We are emptied. Empty the thing, you are lighter. When you are lighter, you go higher. When you think that you have performed very well, and when somebody thinks that, oh, the fantastic has come out, attribute to Bhagavan and be happy.
Yes.
This is beyond doership. We must get rid of that feeling, that what Swami taught me also. Third, one most important. The world is full of contradictions and paradoxes. Definitely. Don't think of it too much. The world is like that. You cannot reform. You cannot refine. You can't redefine. You have come here to undergo all this. Reform yourself. Redefine yourself. And don't try to say, I'm reshaping the world. You cannot. That's not your job. Get reshaped yourself. If that consistent, continuous awareness is there, I think the conscious levels will start operating. That what Swami said. In that context also Swami said, after all, it is faith that matters. If you pray to a stone under a tree, it is granting all the boons.
Exactly.
Then do you come here, a life form, to seek some worldly pleasures? Don't ask for trivial and trash. Ask for me, I am yours.
Fantastic. The last few things that you mentioned on the characteristics of Sadhguru, I think each one of us can relate to it, and it comes down to knowing and living in that consciousness that we are not the doer. I think the more and more you feel that anything that is happening, everything that I'm experiencing, he is in some way the one who's making it happen, and it is for my good. And I think once you have that feeling, then, as you mentioned, you know, you always remain in the state of equipoise.
Equipoise.
Then, and I think people, as you mentioned, different people come here. They come here because, as Swami said, there are two things that is not there in the world. Peace, shanti.
Shanti.
Shanti and bliss. Peace and bliss. That is something you can get only at the feet of the Guru, that no material thing can ever give you. And that is the eternal quest of man, and which can be obtained only at the feet of the Sadhguru. And that is the journey that each one of us are making and will continue to make until we realize that. Until we reach Prashantinilayam.
Prashantinilayam. Here, the Prashantinilayam, when you mentioned, I have to connect myself to you now. I always love one shlokam about a guru.
Mm-hmm.
Brahmanandam Paramasukhadam.
Yes.
Kevalam Jnanamurtim. Yes. Dvandvatitam. Trigunarahitam. Tattvamasyadilakshyam. Ekam. Vimalam. Achalam. Sarvadhi Sakshi Bhutam. So, all these qualities I could relate with Bhagavan. He said, if you want peace, as you said, Brahmanandam, come to me. I'll give you, I grant you. Only thing is, you have to have that receptivity level. You must have a very serious urge. Then I can grant you. Paramasukhadam. What is that Paramasukhadam beyond the senses? A sleep, a hunger, the worldly desires, they can be however fulfilled, somehow or other. But Paramacharamasukhadam, the ultimate happiness, the bliss or ecstasy, whatever you call, these are all stages. Pleasure, joy, bliss, ecstasy, these are all. Then what is there beyond is Paramasukhadam. I don't want anything, I am you. If we can reach that level, I think we can understand Swami in its full measure. Otherwise, no. Dvandvatitam. As long as you think that Swami is different from you, you remain a seeker.
Dvanda is
a dual.
Dual. Get over that.
Get over that. You transcend that level. Dvandvatitam. He is already Dvandvatitam. He is in the same world as we are anchored. He is also here. He is among us, but he is beyond. How he is able to do that?
And I remember one occasion when Bhagwan was asking boys, who am I?
Wow.
No. So different boys will start giving so many answers. Swami, you are Shiva Shakti Swarupa. Swami, you are Narayana. Hmm. Swami, you are Bhagwan and all that.
Hmm.
And Swami didn't seem to be happy with any of the answers. And finally he just said, I am I.
In Telugu he said, Nenu Nenaina Nenu. In all the three stages, that I remain. The rest, they all belong to this body. Because it has to move, it moves. Because it has to do, it does. Because it has to eat, it eats. It eats. I doesn't eat. It is only a sakshi.
I is only a sakshi.
Witness to what is happening. It is watching the body. Kevalam jnana murtim. That kevala jnana is absolute truth. Jnani, you see, intellectual interpretation of shastras doesn't make one person a jnani. There is only a vijnani.
Exactly.
He becomes only a vijnani. He is knowledgeable. Tremendously
like,
knowledgeable.
Just like the outside world, you have scientists.
Yeah, correct. So outside world, yeah.
You'll have scientists who have done exactly the same thing, but perhaps in laboratories and with the research papers.
Papers.
They are only just vijnanis.
They can analyze padartha. Not only that, a person who indulges in giving extempore lectures, he is not a jnani, he is only a vijnani. He has a skill to communicate. He has a knowledge. He has an authority over subjects. Has he authority over himself? Is the question. If he has an authority over himself, call him jnani. That's why intellectual interpretation is not jnana. What is jnana is all pervading, all knowing, but remaining all the time neutral. That makes you the state of, takes you to the state of jnana, jnani. Then you become jnani.
Otherwise, I think you are only an intellectual jinnas.
That's
as they say.
Nothing beyond.
Nothing beyond.
That's why become gagana sadrisham. You become like a sky. When you look up and see the sky, it is full of clouds, stars, sun, moon, galaxy. So many things are there. Or sometimes rainbows. Do they exist? Is the sky holding them? No. It is only a screen on which these are displayed. The moment the rainbow disappears, only screen remains. Like the projector is stopped, film is stopped.
Yes.
So, the actors, the participants, the performers are weeping, they are laughing, they are crying, they are running, they are rolling, but which is remaining neutral is nothing but the screen. So you are that. The moment everything is withdrawn, that is what you are. Nothing is touched upon. So in
that is what is your true self.
True self.
That's why it says Brahman Satya
Jagannitya. That's why Swami said, of course Swami spoke in Telugu, that's why I can explain. Padmapatram Ivambhasa, on the lotus leaf. If you remain like a droplet,
yes,
unattached, that is the best thing. That Yogeshwara Krishna said.
Yes.
Swami said, Tamarakumida neeti bottu, Tamalapakumida neeti bottu, palm leaf, betel leaf. If there is a small droplet on the betel leaf, what we'll do? It becomes mellowed, soft, then we chew more and more as we use palm, isn't it?
Yes.
So this lotus leaf, we use it for taking some food and then we throw it off. So also you treat your body as nothing but a plate where the palate is served. Afterwards what you will do? You will roll and throw into the dustbin. Have that consciousness that body has got only the limitation. The unlimited is within. Like the diamond necklace is in locker. But you know what metal the locker is made out? It's iron.
Iron.
Yes. The body-soul relation, Gagana Sadrisham, Tattvamasi Adi Lakshyam. Tattvamasi, Swami always said, you become the self.
Mm.
You strive hard to understand, pass through this world. experience the good and bad, but with the equanimity, equipoise and equilibrium. Those three beautiful words, how Swami brought them together.
But that is something, you know, even as you deliberate on this, that is something which we will find very difficult to perhaps experience that in our life. How do you, I mean, there are so many things you have expected this thing to happen, a lot of things happening, you know, you're slogged for example, someone is going to the office and for 6 months he is slogged for this particular project and he has submitted everything and it just gets rejected. How can you just, you know, say that don't be affected with it?
Karmanya vadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Do the duty. You perform. Let somebody decide. Always somebody decide. We study for 364 days. We write the examination. Are you correcting your paper and putting 90% marks? There is some unknown person who is correcting your paper. He knows how much is to be given. That's why Karturajnaya Prapyate Phalam Karma Kimparam Karma Tajjadam. All these actions are inert. They are lifeless. But they are done through a conscious person. Conscious person who doesn't claim any doership, indulge in all activities with no attachment. Expecting something, some result, some profit out of anything is nothing but a shade of ego. Unless the ego is killed, the guru cannot come to you.
If so you are saying if you have done everything with an expectation, then it is because you have ego.
You have ego. I wrote very well. Why I got only 60 marks, somebody says. Because you have written, to the extent you can get 60 marks, somebody granted you. Your expectations, your evaluation, self-evaluation, your understanding of things, they don't really matter. Somebody has to judge you. If you always think there is somebody judging us, we'll be more cautious. Who is the judging person, who is the judge, is none other than the God. Where is that God? He is within. In what form? As Sadguru. Simple. He tells you, he always tells you, don't expect so much. You performed your duty, you go. Then whatever comes, you accept. See, Swami, very beautifully he used so many English words when giving some instruction or some suggestion. Never compromise in life. Never compromise. It is disgusting. Don't use, never compromise to any situation. But Bangaru always adjust to any situation. Adjustment is life, compromising is death. Even if you are alive after compromising, you are equal to dead. When you start adjusting to any situation that comes your way, I think you are living very well. How beautiful it is.
You should be able to adapt to any situation.
Then again, adapt. Three words Swami gave. Once again, adapt. Do skillfully. Skill is relative. Your skill is different from my skill. But both of us have to contribute to the world. What you have to do with the skill you should do. Karma Sukha Ushalam, again Bhagavad Gita. So, Swami's teachings are from the scriptures, from the source. Though they appear to be very simple to understand, they are very difficult to practice at the same time. But for that matter, any practice is difficult. Practice itself is difficult. But unless you start practicing... Yes,
but there is no shortcut.
No shortcut.
No shortcut to practice.
That's why I always believe in one more dictum. Faith deepens practice. Practice accelerates faith. These two are inseparable. Faith and practice, they should go together, always.
Faith deepens practice.
It deepens practice.
And once you practice, that accelerates.
That accelerates faith.
Both supplement.
Both supplementary to each other and complementary to each other. Yeah.
Yes, fantastic.
That is why Swami is Sadguru. These are the things that are not told by anybody. They are told directly by the phenomenon called Bhagavan Sri Sat Sai.
You mentioned that, you know, you always try to keep in mind, Bhagavan mentioned it right when you were a little child or 12 years old, that you always remain equipoised. But how do you actually make it happen in practical life? Suppose just now, like we finished the interview and you hear of a news that really is very disappointing. How do you take it? I think you too, I mean, it's not as if you don't face ups and downs of life.
No, we pass through patches of rough weather, like anybody. that is inevitable. That is where Sadhguru plays an important role. I passed through patches of a feather. We receive brickbats, we receive bouquets. Some people indulge in mudslinging, but doesn't matter. Tread your path. Because Sadhguru is in you. He knows whether you are doing wrong or right. He will decide. But because somebody criticized you, somebody did not acknowledge your skills, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean much. You continue to do things that are designated. You have to perform.
You have to be true to yourself.
True to ourselves and always attribute
and
to
have faith them. In that inner self.
In that inner self. That inner self will take you. Today morning, for instance, I got one message on my cell, SMS, that somebody passed away. Somebody passed away. That is a message. Then I know the person who passed away very intimately, very, very intimately. You can't measure the intimacy. And the person is not there this morning around 3 o'clock. So what I should say, I am going back to Hyderabad. I can't see that body again. So please excuse me. I can't be a part of the celebrations. I am going. Then when I was in Mandir, I received that SMS. I just looked at it. I kept quiet. Let there be no sign of grief. Let there be no sign of hesitation. Let there be no sign of commotion within. If you have a commotion inside and exhibit external calmness, it is self-defeat. What is that I can do now? Is the question. I have no role to play. The person has come and gone. His journey is over. Where she or he has gone, he has come back to Bhagavan. This is equipoise. And it is a live example. When we are talking, this is a situation. It is a situation. I am not worried, because worry doesn't mean much.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help at all. And whatever role you have to play, if it is at an appointed hour, you go and do that duty. If you are not to be there, you are not there.
And if you have to play any role, if you have to be there for anything,
you go.
Go and do your duty.
Go and do it. And that too, there is a priority, like father, mother, brother, kin, sibling, friend, a distant friend, a known person.
Yes.
Like this, you know, there are so many levels at which we have to tune our mind and act accordingly. This can come only by practice. Again, how practice comes? Unless you have a situation like this.
Yes.
Face them, bear them, wear them, and be happy. Be comfortable or be neutral. Be still, finally.
All your studies, Swami used to say, is only for that steadiness.
Steadiness. Correct.
And in fact, that is what I have seen. Although so many students who have passed out of Bhagavan's university, that is one quality that their peers and their colleagues in office, that they see in these students. It's the amount of patience that they see and the amount, the way they are able to deal with others, other colleagues, especially the aspect of man management. So they are all the time able to see that the Sai students are able to very easily gel with others. They are able to adjust with others. They are able to take anything without getting really so much depressed.
And on their stride.
Yeah, everything you take on your stride.
Straight.
Because you always feel that, you know, there is someone else. If it is happening, it is happening for
you. That is when Swami said, insurance you have to pay premium. For assurance, no premium is required.
Fantastic. Without premiums, you
premium,
get assurance.
You get assurance.
You have only encash it.
Encash it. For insurance, you have to pay.
Yes. You have to become poor.
And finally, you are not the beneficiary. You are not the somebody else.
The beneficiary.
For assurance, you are the direct beneficiary. Yeah.
Fantastic. And he's the best insurance you can have.
Sure.
God. Fantastic. You are explaining the shloka.
Yeah, that gagana sadrisham, tatvamasya adilaksham. We have to become that. Swami said, the advents before Swami, they taught us how to become God. But this avatar or this phenomenon said, becoming God, what is that? You are already God. Know
already
that.
God. Yes. Fantastic.
Just to know that. There is no Devo Bhutva Devam Yajet. If you want to become God, you have to be like God. And you can never be like God. You are already God. It's a beautiful thing that Swami
only, Sadhguru can
only Sadhguru can tell. And you are that. Tameva hamna samseha. Between you and me there is no difference, Bangaru.
That is so powerful. And whenever, I think there have been occasions when journalists and all, they have asked Swami, are you God? And he has told, yes, I am God, but you are also God.
Know that. Yes. I know that I am God. You, if you know, you are also God. Then Ekam.
Yes.
Ekam. We come alone, yes, into the world.
Yes.
When we leave, we go alone. In between is only the drama enacted. So many participants, so many contacts, so many acquaintances, so many relations. What is happening to all those? The moment you close your eyes, that's why you are Ekam. Even your body will go. You have to cast away here. But Ekam, which is within, is never changing. It is Nityam, it is eternal. It is Vimalam, it is pure. It is Achalam. It doesn't move, but it will be the cause for every moment.
Fantastic. It doesn't move, but it is the cause
for every moment. Everything that is you.
And that's what Ramana Maharshi also used to always say that.
Yeah.
You
know? Sure.
Just think of who are you, who am I?
Who am I? Hrudaya Kuhara Majhe Kevalam Brahma Matram Yaham Ahamiti Sakshat Atmarupena Bhati. Bhati means Prakasha. There is illumination. That is telling you, I am. It is saying that Atma is saying. But we say, I am the body. It's just nothing but illusion. So from illusion, we have to travel to illumination.
Fantastic. And Bhagavan used to always say that how actually this thing gets asserted every day in our life, in our breath. That soham. Swami said, I am that. It's constantly there. Yeah. We just have to listen to it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, move on, sir, in the shloka.
Yeah. Then, sarvadhi sakshi bhutam. Dhi means intellect. The intellect is propelled by the senses. When you see a good thing, when you see a bad thing, when you see very beautiful thing, when you see an ugly thing, it is all guided by something else. So dhi means nothing but intellect. That's why we call it dhi shakti.
Yes, medha shakti.
Medha shakti, dhi shakti. Dhi is intellect. When you are you try to analyze, assimilate, dissect, describe, demonstrate, so many things are there. You indulge in all these activities. Finally, you know, I wonder how it is made. You can also explain, a scientist can explain how it is made, but nobody can explain why it is made.
Exactly.
Swami also said, the entire medical sciences tell you how the child is born and different stages of formation.
Yes.
But can one principle be spoken of is why it is made.
Yes.
How it is made is science.
Yes.
How it is made is science. Why it is made is spiritual. So unless you know how, you cannot reach why.
Like as they say, there are things that are known, there are things that are unknown, and there are things that are unknowable.
Unknowable. And according to the evaluation of the whole universe and creation, what we see as world is, the manifest portion is only 2.5%. 97.5% is still unmanifest. Only 2.5% we are aghast seeing so many variety of things. And we say God is great. And what about 97.5%? When it will become manifest, we don't know. That is why Swami said
mind-boggling.
Only 2.5%. We see rivers, we see oceans, we see countries, we see sects, we see people, we see 84 lakh variety of species always existing on this planet Earth. Sometimes complementary, sometimes contradictory, sometimes self-destructive, sometimes evolution, sometimes it is a revolution. So many contradictions are there. And whatever you call, finally it is only 2.5%. Maybe that 97.5% we call it God. Because we have not seen.
Yes.
Then bhavatitam. He has no bhavam. He has no bhavam because he has no bahyam also. Because he will not externalize things. a guru, sadguru, externalizing thing. Now we are speaking. We are deliberating on some points. Who is the cause? Again, that Parabrahman, he is the cause. And effect is something has come out. We have nothing to do with. When somebody is the cause, we have no ownership on the outcome. You are only a medium. Think that you are a medium, then when Bahyam is reduced, Bhavam will come out. Bhavam means Sadbhavam. Swami always said, Bhavam means in relation to God, in relation to Atma, any thought, any deliberation in relation to Spirit is called Bhava, not your thought. That has got a word called Alochana in Telugu. In English it is called the thought.
Sacred.
Sacred. It's pure, pristine.
Sacred feeling.
Very clear. A sacred feeling. A positive feeling, positive outlook.
Perhaps we don't know the, we cannot find exact word actually. Word.
That is Bhavam.
Yes.
Bhavam emanates from the heart. Thought emanates from the mind. That's all. You are not the mind alone. You are the heart. That's why always Swami said, heart is more important. Heart is more, because it is empty and it is full. That's why the Guru, Sadguru resides in your heart. Swami said, no, why so many buildings, so many mandirs? Don't do that. Convert your heart into Sai Mandir, Swami said. Because he is indweller. He stays there. And, Triguna Rahitam. Sattva Rajas Tamo Gunas.
Beyond.
He's, that's why we call it Kalatrayatitaha, Gunatrayatitaha, Avastatrayatitaha. We always say that.
Yes.
So, he's beyond. He doesn't possess, but he is cause for all the three gunas.
In fact, one definition of guru that Bhagavan has given, he has made it very clear. Gu and Ru. Gu is Gunatita and Ru is Rupavarjita.
Rupavarjita, Gunatita, Runatita. So, he has no attributes, he has no forms, he has no names. He doesn't bear one name. All names are his.
He doesn't. Everything is just a symbol.
A symbol.
That's
of
all,
that consciousness. That's what Swami said. Yeah.
Fantastic. That is what is Triguna Rahita.
Triguna Rahita. Then Sadgurum Tam Namami. If I really find such a Sadguru, my salutations to him. Bishuji, I can tell you, I found that Sadguru. He is none other than our beloved Bhagavan. And my salutations to him today. It is a wonderful opportunity for me. Then we will proceed further.
Wonderful, sir. No, thank you very much. I think this shloka that you explained, we can actually perhaps take only one aspect of the shloka and go on deliberating for hours. Because because that much of experience that Bhagavan has given. As they say, there is our spiritual evolution. If you achieve, say 100 steps, and to achieve that 100 steps, if it takes you 10 janmas, when the avatar comes, when God comes down in a human form, the whole thing gets actually telescopes. It gets accelerated. What you would have possibly done in 10 janmas when trying to get over all these deep weaknesses, they just happen, perhaps all get compressed in one janma, in one instant.
It happens in a trice.
In a trice.
That's all.
And that is the power of
Sadguru.
Of the Sadguru.
Sadguru.
And I think that's what you see. And many times, there are occasions when, you know, you're sitting for darshan. I have interacted with so many people like this, you know. They have just come and they have sat in the darshan. Swami has not spoken to them. Swami has not even seen them. They have had no interaction with Swami. You can hardly imagine if they have had any sort of connection with Swami, or even if Swami has, anything personally has happened with them, with Bhagavan. But this is something has happened. They just sit there and they constantly start crying. Something begins inside. It's a whole process that begins inside.
Inside.
And I can only think that only a Sadguru can do that.
He can internalize everything.
He can just... He
does.
Just by that presence, he can make wonders happen.
So incidentally, when I deliver these public lectures, I never quote even one miracle of Swami. So far I never quoted.
Only Adhyatmikam.
Only spiritual, the very essence, one. I never quote my personal relation or equation with Swami. Never. My personal interactions, I never speak in public, fundamentally. Why I should do that? People ask me, kindly tell us one miracle at least. I always tell one miracle. The miracle is, as you right now said, 30,000-40,000 people will be there, devotees will be there, and Swami will be sitting with no apparent connection with anybody there. But immediately after Haruti, when Swami retires, and we start coming out of the gate, everybody says one thing, Swami has looked at me.
Yeah.
Swami just looked at me, straight away he looked at me. And each one says,
yes.
Unless it is a 360 degrees complete, that cannot happen. According to me, Sadguru is that. A Deksha Guru will look into the eyes and give you mantram. Suchaka Guru will guide you, you go this way, it will be safe. Mochaka Guru will say how many ways are there to attain that moksha. Nishiddha Guru will say what we should not do in the world. But these are all very, very, fundamental levels. The Karana Guru is the ultimate, he is Sadguru. Karana, why we have come here? How long we are Vikala, Karya, Karana, Kartavya? That's what Swami says. The eternal Atma is beyond time and space, you are that, Swami said. That's why he is Sadguru. Karya, you have something to do in this world, that's why you have taken the birth. In fact, I still remember Swami saying, God becomes an avatar. People say that. It is only a half-truth, Swami said. God doesn't take any avatar. Humans take avatars associated with the phenomenon, ultimate. The ultimate doesn't take any avatar. So, in that context...
If you can explain this.
I can. We say Kali Yuga ke avatar, there is some bhajan. We say Swami is avatar of the age, like that so many books come. But Swami said, I am not an avatar. Who said I am an avatar? You are only saying. I am not an avatar, but I come here to see so many avatars come together. I am the force behind. I am the source behind. I am the root cause for everything. So, you can't say Satchasai is an avatar and forget. No, you should not say that. Avatar will be there for a Kalpanta. He has a limitation. He has to operate under some limitations. But for Satchasai, there are no limitations. That Swami said. As if he is not that Satchasai. That is how he explains, no?
You cannot limit him to
limit him.
Time.
No. Time. There is no time. He has come here in 1926. On November 23rd, he came. And on such and such date, he vacated. He must have vacated the body, but he is there.
So it is we who come and go.
We come and go. That's why you are all avatars. I am not avatar. Because for me, there is no coming. There is no going. My state is always remaining. I think at one level we have to understand Swami's...
Fantastic. In fact, what comes to my mind is, there was one occasion when one student went to Bhagwan. He had the chance to actually serve Bhagwan in very close quarters for 3-4 years. And one day when he had the chance to be with Bhagwan in the interview room, he said, Swami, I have experienced your love in many ways. I mean, there have been times when, you know, as a mother you have taken care of me. There have been times as a father you have, you know, disciplined me. As a friend you have given me so much of affection. But I don't know which is the best relationship to have with you. As a mother, to treat you as a father, to treat you as a companion, as a best friend, what is the best relationship I can have with you?
Hmm.
And Swami said, if you want this relationship with me to last a lifetime and lifetimes together, then treat me as a guru. And be my steadfast disciple.
Exactly. That's my
feeling too. Then it is beyond time. As you mentioned.
Beyond space. And every minute he is there with us.
And he is eternal.
Yeah.
With us all the time.
With us. And one more thing, it comes to my mind right now. One day Swami was speaking about gurus. The Loka gurus, Shoka gurus, Bodha gurus, Badha gurus.
Yes.
Oh, galaxy. Variety of gurus Swami was talking. And said, Bangaru, in a very... with a lot of caution. It was sounding caution. Bangaru, all gurus are one. Comma. What is the next sentence? But all are not gurus. don't mistake somebody to be a guru, but the states are there. If you can find, then he mentioned three names. One is Adi Shankara is a guru. Ramana Maharshi is a guru. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is a guru. There are levels. So they are all Gurusthaniya. They have already attained that level by virtue of their living on this planet Earth. But if I become an actor, enacting the role of Ramana Maharshi or Shankaracharya, I can't become Shankaracharya. So the moment the drama is over, you have to become the original. So all gurus are one, but all are not gurus. It's a wonderful caution. See, in this world we see people changing gurus.
Yes.
Swami said, never do that. You can't change a mother.
Yes.
The others can be mother-like. Others can be guru-like. But you have only one mother and only one guru. And you should always aspire that you should have only one birth.
Hmm.
And one birth, you must become birthless, not by salvation or liberation, it is only by transformation.
Fantastic.
Transformation.
Liberation is basically a transformation.
Transformation. Then suddenly he brings out an analogy. You have a washerman. You used, you wore clothes, they are yours. You spoiled them, that was your fault. He comes to you and picks up your rags or whatever clothes. He takes them to the riverside. He will just see how much he is to be cleansed. He will evaluate. He will apply some soap. He starts beating against a rock. Only to cleanse you. So the Sadguru within also creates so many situations where you become cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. Unless you cleanse yourself in this life, then is there a guarantee that you will get a similar life next? Nobody can assure. If some guru says, I am giving you a state of birthlessness, just to give a discount, he said.
No one can grant you that.
No. Uddharer atman atmanam. Anybody has to salvage himself and reach the state of...
Each person has to undergo their...
Karma.
And you have to work through it.
Work through it. And God has provided you a life, a full life, to face life. That's why Swami, life is a game, play it.
Yes.
Follow the master, finish the game. These are all, they appear to be very simple, very, very difficult. Sometimes you will have a ticket worth 300 rupees from Hyderabad to Prashant Nilayam. At the same time, there is an offer, somebody offering you, sir, if you can stay back for 2 more days, the 2 lakh order will be yours. Then what we will do? 2 lakhs important or this 300 rupees ticket? Then we tear off the ticket and we don't come here, then you are not really a sadhaka. Take that 300 rupees ticket and come here. Why 2 lakhs? You'll get 2 crores.
If you have that faith.
If you have that faith. That what Swami said, once it so happened, I'll just, one experience. This was in 1983. I remember that was in January.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and another friend, we both came from Hyderabad and we were sitting in the front row. No, not front row, we were on the veranda. Swami came and just inquired when you have come and how long you are going to stay. I will just finish darshan, come back, you stay here. We stayed, but he didn't speak to us. He went inside. He picked up some people for interview. Talking to both of us was over. When once Swami's morning darshan is over, the friend who came with me said, we'll hire a car. There are some business inquiries. Both of us will go. Swami will, however, not come before 4:30 or 5. So we'll make good use of this time. Let us go. Then, I don't know. I said, no, I have come for Swami. I'll stay back. No, Swami will not be there. What you will do in the room? What you will do? In those days, 83, there was nothing in Puttaparthi also, no?
Yes.
You can't do anything.
So you wanted to go to Bangalore?
You wanted to go to some villages around, not Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
Then, no, you come with me. Swami will not come. Even if he comes, he will not call today because he already spoke to us. I said, no, I have come for Swami, I'll stay back. I stuck to my point. Then he said, okay, it's okay. I will go. I will inquire. It's my business. I must go. He went. We stayed for 3 days. On the third day, that was our day of journey, Swami called me for interview. In fact, the person who came with me is much more senior devotee to me. And he has some proximity too with Bhagavan, which he claims, of course. Then he called me, "No, you alone come inside." He was left behind. So, we can't do anything. It was his choice and I went inside. Then Swami started speaking again, Indian spirituality, this and that. I came out after the interview was over. Just on the threshold, Swami stopped me. Before I was to step away, stepping out, "You know why I called you alone? Though you came together, I called you alone. You know why?" "I don't know, Swami." "I know. Because you came for me, Bangaru, that's why I called you. He didn't come for me, he came for business. Tell him that he should come for me, not for business. Then I will also call him. Till that time, I won't call." A beautiful lesson, no?
It just shows that where our focus should be all the time.
All the time. Other than Swami, we should not have any business in Prashanthi Lam. Swami, Swami, and Swami. Swami-related work, Swami-related thought, Swami-related relations. From here, we have to take home the utmost bliss. Nothing beyond. Not even a grain we have to carry back from here. If you carry a grain also, it is only a padartham. But when you take
the feeling,
you take that ecstasy, you take that bliss, and it is forever.
And that is what you have to share. Swami says that shanti you have to spread.
Share with others.
That becomes prashanti. Yeah. You create prashanti there.
Prashanti, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. And such beautiful lessons. I think living with Bhagwan, as they say, living with God is true education. And then you have in that manner, living in God is spirituality and living for God is devotion. And we saw Swami giving these lessons of life. If you see the life of every student of Bhagwan's university, on the one hand, as we are discussing a few minutes ago, Yamina Sukhimpa Hemadarka Vidya. Paramina Sukhimpa Brahma Vidya.
Brahma Vidya.
And it's the same thing. Here you had the university and the hostel there and the college teachers trying to give you all this Hemadarka Vidya. And here was Bhagwan trying to give you these lessons, this Brahma Vidya. And the way it is together integrated in Bhagwan's university, in Bhagwan's schools. And I think that is something really phenomenal. And that is something, I think, again, is so unprecedented. I don't think in any college, anywhere, it has happened before, where at post-graduation level, at PhD level, you know, you're trying to instill scriptures, you're trying to instill the positive values of our ancient heritage into their minds.
Yeah.
And that is something absolutely phenomenal. And that is what you see living. And that happens because... And I feel it could only happen because of this power of the Sadguru.
Of this
unimaginable love, which is absolutely selfless.
And he always... A Sadguru has got three more distinct characters that I could understand from Swami. He doesn't belittle anything, but he will let you know the limitations of that. He will never say this is inferior, this is superior. But he will tell you this has got limitations, this has got no limitations.
Yes.
And he says comparison is the worst trait in spiritual parlance.
Absolutely.
Never compare.
Absolutely.
You are unique.
Yes.
Have that self-respect. You always feel that you are wanted. You work in that direction. You must command respect. You should not demand respect. If you demand, nobody will give you. Command. Command through practices. Faith in God. Faith, loyalty to what you are doing. You must have a passion. Any mission becomes successful once the missionary has a passion for it.
Yes.
The passion, mission and vision, these three are three levels. Swami used these words. A mission without passion is meaningless. A mission and a passion without vision is redundant.
Rudderless.
Rudderless. So seek all, put all together, align them properly. After all, it is an alignment. Alignment, adjustment, and move on with life. Think that God is a driver and God is the God for a train. Two people who are not at all connected to the passengers directly. Driver is there, he is driving. Guard is there at the back. He is guarding the whole journey. And he plays two roles at one time while you sleep happily on your berth, he said.
Both ensured.
Both ensured.
Your safe travel.
Your safe travel. Yeah.
Fantastic. And I think that is what the Sadhguru does. Bhavasagara
Taranam.
It takes us across this ocean of life.
Yeah, ocean of life.
If only we remember that he is the one who is the doer. I think once you're on that journey, then ultimately you realize that the job, the doer, the action, everything is actually one.
Yes.
I mean, that is the final state.
Drik drishya vivecha.
Yes. Fantastic. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope we can have such conversations in the future. More, because there is so much that we can deliberate on Bhagwan's messages, and the more you relish them, the more you chew on them, the more you contemplate on them, the more
embrace them.
Yeah, the more you understand them,
yeah.
And then more determined you become to practice them. Thank you so much, sir, for being in the studios and sparing your time.
Thank you very much. At all times, let Swami's will prevail. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was the second part of the discussion about Bhagwan as a Sadguru with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, an excellent orator in Telugu language. He's been contributing a lot to our Telugu stream, but for a change we requested him to speak to us in English, and this was a two-hour conversation. I played for you the first part last Thursday and this was the second part. I hope we can do more such conversations deliberating on Bhagwan's characteristics and on this aspect of Bhagwan as the Sadguru, because that is such an all-encompassing theme. So with this, dear listeners, it's time to draw the curtains on this Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. I hope you've been with us listening to our day-long program. Please feel free to give us your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Even as I sign off now, I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. You will continue to listen to our programs from our regular program schedule at 10 o'clock, that is a couple of minutes from now. You will listen to a drama presented by the Balvikas children and youth from Bihar and Jharkhand. This was presented in front of Bhagwan for the first time on 14th March 2009 and it is entitled Chaitanyam, Consciousness. So you'll listen to this drama in a few minutes. Thank you so much. And finally, from all of us at Radio Sai and from me, a sweet goodbye and loving Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam.